Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Go ahead and be seated and take your Bibles and go again one last time to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. This is the end of a series, a short series of messages on revival. And I'm going to combine, it's really a simple 2 Chronicles 7, 14. I've known it for a long time and preached it for a long time. In fact, it's one of the first sermons I ever preached way back in 1976 was on this passage. I know what the scripture says. I know what it's all about, and the temple being dedicated by Solomon and God entering into the temple and taking over and no room for anybody else, and all the sacrifices that were brought. And there were so many sacrifices brought, 120,000 sheep, if I remember right, and 22,000 oxen, that there was no room at the altar, so they expanded the altar, and there was no room for people to come and worship, so they flooded the countryside, and God, the Lord God Jehovah, made his presence known. And it's a revival. And that's what we're going to study here this morning and preach about just a little bit this morning. And I trust I'm not alone here this morning. I know I'm not alone in longing for a heaven-sent revival. I know I'm not the only one that lays awake at night and dreams what it'd be like to have a church of 1,000 people in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and people running down the aisles to be saved, to receive Christ as their Savior. I've seen some great things in my life. I've seen the power of God, not in its fullness, but I've seen the power of God. I've never seen a regional revival. I've seen a church revival, but not a revival that covers a whole region. I've never witnessed a statewide revival. I've seen pockets. I have never seen or witnessed a whole nation on its knees before God. We've got to get desperate. We've got to get to the place, God's people must get to the place where they're serious with God. That refreshing breeze from heaven's shore, the breath of God upon his people. Something that happens that cannot be explained humanly. I mean, people, the hardest people you know, turning and coming to Christ. Man, that's what we got to have. All over this county, 38,000 people, and the majority not born again. The majority, in fact, if statistics bear out true, 28,000 people in this county are not affiliated with any kind of church. And we need a heaven-sent revival. Fundamental Baptist Church has got to become more than what it is. We know what it is to see people get saved. A lady got saved here last Sunday morning. She's here this morning. Glory to God for that. There were 6 people here saved this Friday at a funeral service right here in this auditorium. That was just this last week. Glory to God for that. And we're to stay evangelistic, and we're to do the work of an evangelist like Paul told Timothy. And one of the first marks of a New Testament local church is they're a gospel-preaching church. They're a church that is evangelistic and is aggressive and reaching the lost for Christ. Otherwise, why we're here? There's nobody to disciple if people aren't getting born again. And then after they get born again, we disciple them, we teach them the things of God, and we go out, we multiply ourselves all over again. But, man, we're not doing enough. We need revival. People walk the aisles every service here. We expect it. Man, we come to the end of this preaching, and the piano starts to play, and the organ starts to play. We have an altar call, and the preacher says, come, and people come down the aisles, and they kneel right here at this old-fashioned altar. Every service, we've come to expect that, but we need more. Let's go to 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. I'll lay out the background here again. I want to get to verse 14 and on through the rest of the chapter as quickly as I can. And revival can happen, and it can take place here in Michigan. It can take place in Upper Michigan. It can take place at Fundamental Baptist Church. And one evangelist very lovingly and I think rightly said, you know, one thing about Fundamental, you've got the spirit of revival. But I'm thinking, man, that's not enough. We got to have more than just that flavor. Revival. American churches need it. We've tried the programs. We've tried money. Many have tried drama and drums and entertainment. Now it's high time to try God. Now it's time to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 and say what and see what God said to his people. Solomon, the temple's built. Man, they're excited. They are excited. I'll not read all of the chapter, but verse 1 says, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Shekinah glory came down because God's people got ready. Shekinah glory came down. The priest, verse 2, could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, man, that would be a glorious thing to see. And the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and for his mercy endureth forever. They bowed themselves down, they prayed, they worshiped, they praised, and they were praising because of the mercy of God. Verse 4 says, for the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. So there was exaltation of Christ, there were sacrifices given. Revival does cost something. Can't be that casual Christian and really have Holy Spirit revival. And then there was great respect for God, great reverence for God. They proclaimed the mercy of the Lord. That was their theme. They understood that Jesus Christ, you need to understand this today, he's our only hope. He is our only hope. Fundamental Baptist Church is not the hope of Chippewa County. Jesus Christ is. And he is our only hope. If you're going to see loved ones and coworkers come to Christ, we need to exalt Christ. And that's exactly what they were doing. They said his mercy endureth forever, verse 6. And all Israel stood, verse 6. Moreover, Solomon, verse 7, hallowed the middle of the court that there was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat offerings. There are too many sacrifices. Too much of an offering was given. There was no room. There was no room at the altar. So Solomon had to expand the altar. That's when revival's taking place. Look at the next verse. Too many, verse 8. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel was with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath under the river Egypt. Again, too many, no room. And you long for that? Do you long for that at Fundamental Baptist Church? You know, we're pretty full this morning. We couldn't get too many more people in the auditorium. We could squeeze a few in. We could, you know, we could find a way, but we're pretty full. But don't you long? Don't you long for the days of revival of old, where people clamored to hear the word of God? Where people were so hungry for hearing the scripture, whatever the preacher had, man, they came with an empty cup and an empty plate, and they said, man, fill it up, and God filled it up to overflowing. I love reading of the days of revival. I love reading of the Sawdust Trail and Billy Sunday's Day, and D.L. Moody, the ignorant, uneducated lay preacher who shook two continents for God. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, who was so eloquent and never preached to less than standing room only at the Metropolitan Tabernacle right towards the end of his short ministry. And hundreds of people in the basement of the tabernacle in London praying and asking God for the power of God upon their preacher as he preached. Man, I long for the days of Paul Rader in Chicago, and I long for the days of Mel Trotter and just great revivals. It can happen here if we just get hungry. If we would just get desperate. There was no room. Verse 9 says, in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly. That's after the 7-day feast. And they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry. And there's a result of revival for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Romans tells us that the goodness of God leads to repentance. The goodness of God leads to repentance. You want to be a happy people? We need to be a people that's right with God. Let's get on down to verse 14. Solomon finished the house. Verse 11. It's hard for me to skip verses. It's also important. There's so much there. He finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his house he prosperously effected. There was nothing too good for God. Solomon kept thinking of more ways to make the temple better and more beautiful in a place where they would meet Shekinah glory. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain. Oh, by the way, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Right? There was a place for the temple in the Old Testament, a place for the tabernacle prior to that, where God made his presence known, Shekinah glory. Now we're in the New Testament church age. Now this is the New Testament church. And God doesn't dwell in buildings. God dwells in his people. But he's ordained the New Testament local church to meet. And here we are meeting in a church building, but we are a portion, we are part of the church. We are the church of Jesus Christ that is meeting here in this place this morning. And there's order. And there's worship, and God, Shekinah glory is here if we'll just make room for him. The glory of God. Real revival. Verse 13, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. God says to Solomon, king of Israel, I want you to remember this. I have chosen this place. I've put my name here. You are my people. I will guide you. I will bless you. I will punish you when you do wrong. I will love you. I will always be there for you. I know the way that you're to go. You don't know about tomorrow, but I'm the God of tomorrow, and I'm here today, and I'll meet your every need. But if the rain stops, if pestilence comes, agricultural society, if disease comes your way, he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, here is a promise that God gave to his people. He gave to Old Testament Israel, and it's a promise to the New Testament local church today. Here is God's way for revival, not a program, not a song, not a special preacher. Here is God's way for revival. You don't even need the preacher for revival. If my people, God's people, called by my name, Christians, humble themselves. I already preached the message on humility. We need to get real. We need to understand who we are. We need to say like the Apostle Paul, I abhor myself. I am the chiefest of sinners. Amen. Greatest New Testament Christian that ever lived. He recorded in Holy Scripture, testifying about himself, I'm a wretch. I'm a wretch. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Go to Isaiah chapter 6, just real quick. Prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, Isaiah's in the presence of God, and said, Holy, 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 the thrice holy God is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, listen to the prophet, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We have got to get to the place where we recognize in humility who we really are. Who we really are. Say, preacher, I got a good job. Who we really are. Say, preacher, I got some nice clothes. I drive a nice automobile. Who we really are. Say, preacher, I eat real good. I go to church. I even show up to prayer meeting once in a while. Who we really are. If my people, when disease comes, pestilence comes, if there's a barrenness of the word of God in the land, if my people, the church, which are called by my name, humble themselves. I said this 3 Sundays ago. Some of the proudest people in America dress up on Sunday morning and go to church. I mean proud. And you know all the songs. You know some verses. You know the proper thing to do in the proper place. And the power of God is left and you wist not that it's gone. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Oh, I want to say one more thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Comparing ourselves among ourselves, themselves among themselves, is not wise. You can find somebody you're more spiritual than and make yourself really seem self-important. That is self-deception. The closest man to God this morning, the closest woman to God this morning, is a sinner saved by grace. A wretch. Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. Are you kidding, Paul? You never met Tim Rader. He said, in all honesty, I am the chief, I'm the least of the apostles. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, I must decrease so that he can increase. First thing that's got to happen in the church is there's got to be a spirit of humility. There's got to be a hunger and knowledge that only God can meet our needs. America's got a lot of problems. We call evil good, and we call good evil. That which God one time has declared is an abomination, now people praise. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You know, and you talk about an upside down, mixed up culture, a godless culture. It's the United States of America. God has a people here. And if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and then pray. I think that was last Sunday morning's message. Don't worry, I'm not going to try to preach it. 10 bullet points on prayer, and I got about 4 of them done. It wasn't one of my better efforts, but I believe God blessed anyway. Pray. Verbalize. Get desperate with God. You ever get bad news from a doctor? Hey, there's a lady here this morning that was told she had cancer. Mikey, I bet you spent some real time praying, didn't you? And she found out this week she doesn't have cancer. That's pretty exciting. She's excited. She called people and told them about it. We got to get desperate like we got cancer. We do. It's a spiritual cancer. Too much of the church is becoming like the world. And people are going to go to hell. Man, we need revival. We need revival at Fundamental Baptist Church and every other fundamentalist, biblicist, Christ-honoring church in Michigan and in the United States of America. Jeremiah 33:3, I alluded to this verse last Sunday. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You cannot even begin to imagine the things that revival will do. You cannot even think of, you cannot imagine the changed lives and how people are going to get born again that don't know Christ. You say, what's going to happen, Pastor? When is it going to happen? It's going to happen when God's people humble themselves and when God's people pray. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, right there, get real, get desperate, it's real, and get right. Last part of this verse. This is the final message in this short series. It says here in verse 14, if you'll look at it again, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You know what that describes? Those two things. Humble ourselves, that's first. Man, we got to know who we are. Unless you're humble, you don't have the ear of God. God is far from the prayer of the proud. Now, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That's the word of God. So we've got to humble ourselves. Quit thinking you're self-sustaining. Quit thinking you lift yourselves up by your own bootstraps. Quit thinking, well, I don't need to go to church on Sunday night. I don't need to go to prayer meeting. We're just praying for other people. I can do that here by my bed. That, you know, quit thinking that way and understand all that God is, the goodness of God leads to repentance. Humble ourselves and pray. And seek my face and turn from my wicked ways. That is the Bible definition of repentance. Seeking God's face and turn from our wicked ways. That is both sides of the same coin. I did some studying this last week, refreshed my memory on the Hebrew word for repentance and the Greek words for repentance, and it's exactly what it's speaking to. And I thought to myself, man, that fits right in with the last part of 2 Chronicles 7:14, that which the church needs to do in order to have a Holy Spirit revival. First thing we got to do is we got to seek God's face. In other words, turn to God. Look at Acts in chapter 3. Acts in chapter 3. Verse 19, the two verses I wanted Bill to read. Seek God's face, turn from their wicked ways. Both part of repentance. How can I turn to God, seek God's face, turn from my sin? That's repentance. That's a change of heart. I wrote this down. Absolute definition of repentance is a summons to a personal, absolute, unconditional surrender to God. 180-degree turnaround. I'm repulsed by my sin. I get sick of my sin. I desire, in my heart, I turn from my sin and I turn to God. I understand He's my only hope. He's all I've got. And the Bible tells us that if we're going to have revival, we've got to have that. We seek God and we turn from our sin. We forsake our sins. Acts chapter 3, Peter here is preaching. Peter and John, they healed a lame man. He's got up, he's running around, he's testifying, he's leaping. The lame man in verse 11 says, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, verse 11, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Peter and John had just healed a lame man. The people start to praise him and praise them, humility. And he says, wait a minute, it wasn't us. It's the Jesus that you crucified and rose again on the third day. It's by his power and by his name that this man walks. Verse 13, and the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And it's in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it. I know you didn't know what you were doing, as did also your rulers, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, he said all this was prophesied, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Here's his conclusion. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Before you got born again, in order for you to get born again, you needed to repent of your sin. You need to say, man, I know my sin is a dead-end street. I know I can't go to heaven. I've tried to keep the commands. I can't do it. I need a Savior. I'm sick of this sin. Jesus, I hear you're the Savior, and I come to you. You had to repent of your sin. You turn from your sin. Doesn't mean you're perfect. But you didn't hang on to your sin and laugh about it and say, oh, Jesus, I want you to save me. That's not salvation. You repented of your sin. You abhorred your sin. You knew you were lost. You received Jesus as your Savior. You looked to God. That's salvation. After you're born again, in order to have revival, there's got to be that same repentance. We say, well, I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. I know the only answer is Jesus. And I've fallen back into the sin, so I repent of my sin. I'm disgusted with my sin. I abhor my sin. And Jesus, please, please send revival. God, forgive me. God, make it like it used to be. God told Solomon, you remember this, Solomon, when pestilence comes, when disease comes, when locusts come, sometimes I'm chastising my people. Sometimes it's just my will that it takes place in your life. You remember when that happens, I'll make you a promise. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. America's in a bad way. You've heard me say this for years. It's even more so now. It's far worse than it's ever been. God bless you school teachers that teach in a public school. You're good. You're missionaries. If you're going about it right, you're doing the right thing. But public schools are not what they were in the 70s. And I remember what they were back then. And everybody's got an agenda, and there's some bad things going on. You know, in our government, some bad things going on. In our communities, some terrible things going on. Behind closed doors, all kinds of wickedness, all kinds of evil. And again, that which God calls evil, man is now calling good. You know, we have come that far. We've drifted, gotten that far away from God. If there's ever going to be revival, man, it's got to happen now. Jesus is coming soon. We know that. The rapture of the church is going to take place very, 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 very soon. If there's going to be a last harvest, if there's going to be a last time, end time revival, other than what happens in the tribulation, if it's going to happen for the church, now's the time. We are ripe. Fields are white unto harvest. People are lost, and there's so many people that, excuse me, they really don't know what to believe. They don't know where to look. And churches are cowering under their pews. Man, we got to stand up and lift high the name of Jesus. Go back one more time to 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. I just want to read just a couple verses. Verse 17 says, "And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I've commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments," that's the word of God, "then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel." That was a personal promise to Solomon. Here's how it applies to the church. If you will obey me, man, if you'll just stay with me, if you'll not be like a rat deserting the ship or someone running back to Egypt and the garlic and the onions of Egypt and you start to think the grass is greener on the other side. If you'll just stay with me, I'll bless you. I'll heal your land. Verse 19, "But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods, my people, which are called by my name, serve other gods," man, that doesn't seem possible, "and worship them?" Oh, yeah. "Little children, keep yourself from idols." John said that to the church. We'll never have revival if you're an idol worshiper. You'll never have it in your household if you're not willing to forsake your sin. Let's review real quickly. Got to humble yourself. Know who you are. Quit playing big shot. Quit pretending you're a spiritual giant. And truthfully, those in here, that are in here that are spiritual giants, they get down low before God. They know. They know their feet are made of clay. They understand, all right? So first thing you got to do is humble yourself. And then pray. Get a prayer closet. Pray without ceasing. Know what it is to get a hold of God. And then repent. It's that simple. Repent. Turn to God. Turn away from your sin. That's repentance. Don't hang on to your sin. Don't embrace your sin. Don't take your sin and hide it in a box and put it under the bed and use it when you want to use it. Man, don't go there. Don't keep it in the closet and kind of save it for a rainy day. Don't go there as a child of God. Abhor that sin. Pray that God would help you to be disgusted with that sin. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning. Well, I do know who I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to a lot of people that are saved because of the grace of God. But I also know that you're human beings and you still got flesh and you still got that old man. And some of you, you're letting the old nature run your lives. God help you. God help you. You're gonna do more than skin your knees before it's done. God help you, man. And the repercussions are going to multiply with every generation. With all your children, it's going to multiply. It's going to get worse and worse. Instead, humble yourself before God, the mighty hand of God. Pray. Get desperate. Turn to God. Turn to God. He's your only hope. Forsake your sin. And then he said, "I'll heal your land. I'll never forsake you nor leave you. Man, I'll be there for you." Do you long for the days of revival? Do you daydream about what God can do in your life and lives of your family and children and grandchildren and Sunday school classes and school classrooms and ministries and all that God has called you to do? Man, do you long for those days? Oh, I do. I find myself praying over and over again, "God, do it again. God, do it again." Like our forefathers have witnessed. Do what you've done in the past. Church is in a bad way. All across America. Do it again. Man, somebody's got to get serious.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader. Senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.